I want to invite you to take a copy of God's Word and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 6. The Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to be preaching on the subject of never-ending faith in the God who saves. Faith is not much unless the object that we place our faith in is much. And we are excited today that we have this tremendous God who saves. His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We can place our never-ending faith in Him because He is completely reliable. He is completely faithful in all of His many, many different ways. A matter of fact, today's message could easily have been entitled The Gospel According to Daniel, because we see Daniel impacted by grace through faith, and God saves him from the lion's den. He exalts him. He allows him to proclaim God's glory. I want to remind you, whenever you're reading the Old Testament, you're going through. These are not isolated stories that cause us to lift up and exalt a man like Daniel. These are stories that point to the New Testament gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see all the stories of the Old Testament fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And so I want you to keep one thought on that this morning as we're going through God's Word. How Daniel, really, and this story of him being placed in the lion's den, God rescuing him through His grace, according to Daniel's faith in Him, and how God established Daniel and allowed him to not only proclaim His goodness and His grace, but to proclaim it to people all over the earth. And God just has this tremendously unbelievable way of doing that. I sort of hate we're leaving Daniel after today, but we are preaching through these first six chapters looking at the life of Daniel, the man. If you say, preacher, how come you're not going to get into all of that apocalyptic teaching there in Daniel and in chapter 7 all the way through the end of Daniel? Because I'm really in the fall, we're going to deal with the book of Revelation, and Daniel's going to be heavily called upon in there for proof text. And so you'll get a good dose of end times coming later. But right now, we want to focus on how God prepared the children of Israel to live in exile. How God was faithful to the children of exile when they were in Babylon. That's a much needed message for our time. As Chris made mention too, as Brian prayed, our graduates, whether they're graduating from college or high school, or we may even have some middle school graduates with us today, as they move on to their next chapter of life, they're going to increasingly move out and engage the world in multiple levels. And it's very important for us to realize when we send our children into the world that we're sending our children into the world not defenseless, that we're not sending them sheep to be slaughtered, but we're sending them thoroughly equipped with a biblical worldview. And so in chapter 1, that's what we see in the book of Daniel, right? The nation of Israel is taken into exile, right? Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, are taken into exile in Babylon, some 700 miles away. And as they are led away into this exile, we see that the king of Babylon is seeking to not only bridge a gap to those people who are going to be living in his kingdom from Judah, but he's also going to convince them that the Babylonian way of living is the best way of living. And so if you'll remember way back in chapter 1, what happens is he identifies Daniel, he identifies Daniel's friends, some other gifted teenagers who had been trained in Old Testament scripture at that time. They had been trained in Jewish custom and heritage. They had been trained to have faith in Yahweh. And these young men, even some young women, came and they served Nebuchadnezzar. And do you remember the testimony in chapter 1? The testimony was this. Man, they were more excellent than any of the Babylonian teenagers. God had put His hand on them and blessed them in a way that made them far above any of the Babylonian teenagers. If you say, well, what am I to take away with that? That God's people are to be better. God's people are to be equipped for God's glory. God's people are to be equipped to be able to engage the world and to be able to do it in an outstanding way. And so how we raise our children and our teenagers It really makes a difference. If you believe that today, nod at me like this. We just raise them to live like the world. Just listen to me. I'm just talking to you as not just your pastor, but I deeply love you all and praying for you. If we raise our children no different than Babylon raises our children, raises their children, and then we throw them out into the world without thoroughly rooting them with a biblical worldview, that means helping them to think biblically so that they can behave biblically when they are in Babylon. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to our kids. They're going to look like the world. They're going to talk like the world. They're going to act like the world. And they're going to experience the brokenness of the world. I don't know of a parent or a grandparent in this place today that wants that for our students, for our children, for our teenagers. None of us want that. So if we take anything away from Daniel chapter 1, it is we have a responsibility to prepare our students that when they enter into exile, they're ready to stand, right? And they're ready to stand faithfully. And then in chapter 2, we talked about the stability of God and his kingdom. And the message that we take away from that is that in just unbelievably trying times, when the decree goes out that the king is going to murder all of the wise men, that we should pray and we should trust God, not only for deliverance, as we're going to see today, but we should trust God for provision and for his wisdom. And so there's this reliability in chapter 1 upon God. There's this reliability in chapter 2 upon God. And then chapter 3, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't bow to this golden image, right? And that message we call worship no matter the cost, right? No matter what, we're called to worship. And we see how Daniel's friends, once they changed their name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not bow to the idol of the age. But what they did was they were going to worship God faithfully no matter what. Now watch this, how important this is. Even if it meant that they were going to be cast into a fiery furnace. So what is that lesson? Worship in our triune God matters. Don't bow to the pull and the pressure of this world. Listen, we of all people have to be unashamedly Christian, right? We're not ashamed of Jesus. We're not ashamed of his word. We're not ashamed of his church. We want to faithfully stand. And then in chapter 4, you know, Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. And man, he's just struggling and he's seeing his kingdom come to an end. And we see how God rules the kingdom of men. That is so important because there's going to be times when you're living in this world that you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be riddled with either bad news, trying circumstances. Maybe there's going to be tragedy that strikes your life. And you're going to think to yourself, is this all that life is about? Is life about work? Is life about broken relationship? Is life about death or suffering and hurt and pain? And you're going to be tempted to think to yourself, there can't possibly be a God because of all of this stuff around us. But in Daniel chapter 4, we see God is so faithful to speak and use Daniel again to come and show about how his kingdom there will be no end and how God rules the kingdom of men, even the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And then last Sunday, and man, y'all endured a strong, strong word. We saw about how God judges the world, right? And so we see Belshazzar, a descendant, a connection to Nebuchadnezzar. And we see how he did not acknowledge God. He did not acknowledge the grace and kindness of God to Nebuchadnezzar. Consequently, we see that Belshazzar experiences great judgment. And not just Belshazzar, but we see that Babylon is overthrown. So when we get to here, Daniel chapter 6, we are living under a completely different rule now, right? The Medes and the Persians are ruling the roost. They're ruling the community, if you will. And that's where we pick up in verse 1. We're going to see Darius the Mede, and then we're going to see a little bit later on Cyrus the Persian. And so as we give ourselves to this word, I want us to think about this morning how faithful God is to demonstrate the gospel, his gospel to us. How we can serve the Lord with never-ending faith, and we can watch God be faithful and to save and to deliver, because he is this God who demonstrates never-ending, unrelenting faith, not in us, but he demonstrates his faithfulness to us. And so let's begin reading. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to skip down to verses 25 through 28. It says that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give an account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel, see if this sounds familiar to chapter 1. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because Daniel was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Boy, that is where we are as a culture and a society today. Flip over to verse 25 through 28. Preacher, what happens between there? We're going to walk through there and get all of that. But what happens is these guys start this plot and this scheme. They certainly entrap Daniel. Daniel does what he does. They ask Darius to pass this decree we're going to read about. He passes this decree, and you're not supposed to pray to any other god, right? And so Daniel's doing what he customarily does, and he's praying. So they catch him praying. They take him before Darius, and they say, "Darius, he's broken the decree that you just signed." Now listen to this. Darius, I would say he almost loves Daniel. He has a great affirmation and affection for Daniel. And it grieved his heart to have to execute what seemed to be Mede-Persian judgment upon Daniel. But he did, and he throws him into a lion's den. He goes and he fasts and he prays all night, Darius does, while Daniel's in that lion's den. You guys know the story, right? If you've read the Bible at all, or you went to Bible school and you heard this story, we come to the place where Darius runs to the den the next morning, expecting to find Daniel torn limb for limb, and there's Daniel, unscathed, saved and delivered. And so listen to, as we get to verse 25, the response of Darius in light of God's faithfulness to Daniel. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all of my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, the enduring God. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues." If you believe our God delivers and rescues, would you say amen? "He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Father, speak to us today through your word. Add unction and anointing to it as it is explained, as we go line by line to help understand the word that we've read, the word to our heart this morning. God, our confession is that it is your word that transforms us. And if indeed we are not going to be conformed to this world, we must be transformed according to your word. And so, God, speak to us today. Change us, work in us, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. In his book, Worship Matters, Bob Coughlin penned these words describing faithfulness. He said, "Faithfulness means firmly adhering to the observance of a duty, keeping your word, fulfilling your obligation. It involves faithfulness, involves being loyal and constant. It involves being reliable. Jerry Bridges piggybacks on that, and he says, the faithful person is one who is dependable, trustworthy, and loyal, who can be depended upon in all of his relationships, and who is absolutely honest and ethical in all of his affairs. Honest and ethical in all of his affairs. God wants us to be dependable even when it costs us. This is what distinguishes, listen to this, this is what distinguishes godly faithfulness, Christian faithfulness, from the ordinary dependability of secular society. Bridges is wise to help us understand this faithfulness that we see in the life of Daniel, the faithfulness of God that he shares with those who follow him, is much deeper and much greater than just a dependability to your workplace or a dependability to your spouse or a dependability to your children. It's much deeper than just being dependable. There is absolute loyalty to an object that is absolutely supreme. He goes on and he just says this. It is not only what distinguishes godly faithfulness from ordinary dependability of secular society, but the object of our faith is of the utmost importance as we demonstrate our faithfulness. Why does faithfulness matter? Faithfulness matters because we have a God who matters. Faithfulness makes a difference because we have a God that makes a difference. When we demonstrate faithfulness in God, it's because He is demonstrating His never-ending faithfulness to us, to His creation, to His eternal plan that He has not only for His king and kingdom, but for the whole entire universe. This idea of never-ending faith in Jesus, it allows us to demonstrate integrity and honor as we serve God and allow Him to position us. It allows us to demonstrate integrity as we serve God and allow Him to position us. I hope that you'll write that down this morning, that first point. It allows us, never-ending faith, as God is working in you and you put your faith and trust in Jesus, that never-ending faith in Christ allows you to demonstrate an integrity, listen, to demonstrate integrity as we serve God. And we allow Him to position us and to establish us, right? So then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, is what the Bible says in verse 3, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when you demonstrate faith in God, when you demonstrate faith in Christ, according to the faithfulness that He has demonstrated of His own character and of His own integrity, when you allow Him to live that in you and through you, a tremendous, tremendous thing happens in your life. And it is that God allows you to serve Him consistently. He allows you to serve Him with integrity. He allows you to serve Him with real longevity. He allows you to honor His name. And the reason that He allows you to do that is because it is the faithfulness of God that is at work in you and through you. So I have a question this morning. How is your faithfulness? How is your faithfulness to God? Do you get up in the morning and live your day, and then at the end of the day, you weigh yourself like this and say, well, my good outweighed my bad, or my bad outweighed my good, and you hope that at the end of the day, God is pleased with you? Or do you say, you know what, because of the very faithfulness of God and because of His promise to me, I can walk with real integrity. I can walk with real honor. I can walk in a real distinguished way today because my God goes with me and He is for me and He is not against me. And my whole reason for living is to bring glory and honor to His name. This never-ending faith in Jesus, it allows us to demonstrate integrity as we serve God. It watch this. It keeps us from seeking position. This faith in God allows us to just be able to say, you know what? It's God who exalts His people. So what does that mean to you today? When you leave here, what we just said, what we're reading in the book of Daniel, what does it mean that Daniel was distinguished? He had an excellent spirit in him, and the king planned to set him over his whole kingdom. It means this: when you walk in the Spirit of God, and you walk in faithfulness, and you're depending on God, and you're depending on God's Word, you don't have to work to get ahead. Are you listening to me? you can sort of forsake that whole American dream idea of, you know what, I've got to work and work and work and work my fingers to the bone because somehow I've got to position myself to get ahead. When you just demonstrate faithfulness, God will exalt you in due season to the positions and the things that you want. Let me illustrate that for you. Don't raise a hand. How many of you have ever been exalted? You got a promotion, you received a position, something going on in your life, a blessing with family, a blessing in your career or occupation, maybe in your community. God moved one neighbor out and he moved another neighbor in, and you just thought, holy cow, God has been just favorable to me. God has just ministered to me in this tremendous way. You didn't orchestrate any of it, right? You were just living according to God's word, trying to live faithfully before him, and you were just trusting the situation to the Lord. And God acknowledged that faithfulness, and then he blessed you in due season. What are you saying, Pastor? Listen to me. The trap that says you have to scheme, you have to work, you have to be clever, you have to outsmart the next person in Babylon to get ahead if you're ever going to have what you want in life is not true. You can serve God faithfully. You don't have to cheat on your taxes. Can I get an amen? Belinda, can I get an amen? She's got her hand raised up. You don't have to cheat on your taxes. You don't have to lie to your spouse. You don't have to do something underhanded. You don't have to make a decision denying God in hopes that somehow that's going to position you to a place that you hopefully want to be. No, you can trust God by being a man or woman of integrity as you serve him and just saying, God, I'm trusting you. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this idea of just pursuing that next position instead of saying, God, I'm going to trust you. Pastor, pie pie in the sky, big man. You make it sound like if I'm faithful to God, wherever I am, God's going to find me and God will exalt me in due season. I want everyone to look at me. That is not pie pie in the sky. That is faithfulness in God. Let me ask you this question. Does God know everything? Does God see everything? Does God have all power? Can God be all places at all time, anytime? My brothers and sisters, when you live a life of faith like Daniel lived, you will be exalted in due season. God has not lost sight of you. He knows where you are, and he knows exactly what he wants to do in your life. So, concerning our families, let us live as men and women of integrity. Let us live as boys and girls, as children and students with integrity and honor before the Lord concerning our families. Concerning our occupations, let us be above reproach. Let not the person from Babylon outwork us tomorrow. Don't be the Christian who comes into work 30 or 45 minutes late. Don't be that type of Christian. Don't go and complain about the foreman behind his back. If you've not noticed, when you complain to a person of Babylon about the foreman that you are, who is your direct supervisor, have you not learned by now that the person from Babylon is going to do exactly what these other satraps and leaders did, and they're going to go to the foreman and say, that guy's supposed to be a Christian, he's supposed to be a goody-two-shoe, that guy, man, is slandering you behind your back. Have you not learned that? That is the way the world operates. So concerning our business and our occupations, let us serve God with integrity, with never-ending faith, knowing that if we are faithful to God, God is going to be faithful to us. Walk in the Spirit and serve the Lord faithfully. But here's the second thing. Look with me at verses 5 down through 15. We need to demonstrate never-ending faith in the Lord and allow him to work his faithfulness in us. And as we do, that never-ending faith in Christ, this never-ending belief in God, this trust in the Almighty will allow us to genuinely serve God according to his word. Now watch this, regardless of the cost. The Bible says Daniel went to his house, so the decree is passed, right? And so let's just read that. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, I'm in verse 6, O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes a petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and the injunction. You say, why did he do that? Because they lied. They said this, all the governors, all the satraps, all the leaders, they didn't say, except for your most favored, most wise man, Daniel. Everybody signed it except Daniel. They forgot and left that out. And so Darius the Mede, he's thinking Daniel has signed off on this. And so Darius the Mede, he signs off on this decree. Now I want you to watch what happens here. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber, open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign this injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. When you demonstrate the faithfulness of God in a never-ending way, when you demonstrate this unrelenting faith in Christ, this unrelenting faith in God, he will position you to genuinely serve him according to his word, regardless of the cost, and regardless of how evil men or women will try to entrap you. Now, my brothers and sisters, I've been a Christian since I was 19. I'm 52 now. So I don't want to rehash that whole testimony. You guys, if you've been here long, you've heard it. But I really want you to understand, when I got saved, I got saved. I mean, the Lord delivered me from so much sin and garbage, so much bitterness and hatred, just lostness. God delivered me from that. I didn't know anything to do but praise him for that, thank him for that. Then later on, he calls me into ministry, and I'm just saying, Lord, I got other plans. I want to coach. I want to teach. I want to do this. And he said, no, you're not doing that. If you're going to be faithful, you got to do this. And I'm saying, Lord, I don't know how to do that. How do I get up and open the Bible? At that particular time, I had just read through the Bible. And I want you to understand something. I did not understand probably 90% of what I read in the Bible. And God's calling me, right, to ministry. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't understand this. And I just want to say something to you, and I want you to listen. In all of this time, I have observed over and over how lost sinners, evil people that are instruments of the wicked one, will try to entrap the people of God in many different ways. Sometimes they do it by disguising themselves as a believer or a church member. I can remember when I came to Calvary, one of the things that the bylaws committee asked me to do when we were redoing the bylaws, and I'm saying, what are you trying to accomplish? This is years ago now, 14 years ago. And this committee, 4 people, Czar Beatty was one of them, and Sam Crace, and Gary Patterson, and then Vicky Cornelius. They were on that committee. And when I said, what are you trying to accomplish? The chairman of the committee said, you know what we're really trying to accomplish? We want to keep the microphone out of the devil's hands. And so that begged the question, right? I thought, what kind of church am I coming to here? I said, what do you mean by that? And they said, you know, we just have open mic policy right now. Anybody can stand up and say anything, ask anything they want. And most of the time, it's rude, it's critical, it's condemning, it's not of faith. And I just said, man, we as God's people, we are not that. You got to affirm it better. We are not that. That's the way the world acts, right? That's the way the world responds. Man, they fight over things like, is there running water in that baptistry, right? They fight over things of, let's carpet that speaker right there. They fight over things of, why can't we have an elevated floor? Why can't we have pews? Listen, the people of God don't fight over trivial things like that, right? We focus on the gospel and what Christ is wanting us to do. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. Never-ending faith in God will allow you to genuinely serve the Lord according to His Word, regardless of the cost, and it will prevent you. Listen, it will keep you. It will uphold you even when people try to entrap you. And then also, godly people remain faithful to God no matter the cost. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God has this ability to keep you faithful no matter the cost? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has this ability to keep us living in faith, repenting of our sin, and pursuing Him? Do you believe that? I absolutely do believe that. Does that mean we're perfect? Absolutely not. There's not a perfect one in here, right? In our practice, would we all agree we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory? If we agree to that, nod at me like this, right? But man, God keeps His faithfulness at work in us. And what He has saved, He is able to keep. And He allows godly people to remain faithful to Him no matter the circumstances that that come before them. And so never-ending faith in the Lord allows us to demonstrate this integrity as we serve Him. And we trust Him to position us where He wants to use us best for His glory. It allows us, this never-ending faith allows us to genuinely serve the Lord according to His Word, regardless of the cost. And it allows us, this never-ending faith in God, allows us to rely upon God in every situation, believing that He can deliver us. Daniel was brought and he was cast into the den of lions. And the king declared to Daniel, Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually deliver you. This is not just well wishes. This is the desire of Darius. I mean, Darius the Mede, he goes back to his palace and he fasts all night long. He's praying. He's asking for provision and protection for Daniel. You see that he had a genuine concern for Daniel. And if we learn anything from Daniel chapter 6 and the story of Daniel being in the lion's den, it is this, that we can rely upon God in every situation, believing that God can deliver us. We can rest in God's plan. Preacher, I'm not for sure what God's going to do with me next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. You know what? You don't have to have it all figured out, but you can rest in God's plan. Sometimes people will say to me, what are you and Tracy going to do in retirement? I really don't know what we're going to do. Retirement's not really big on our radar. When you're called into vocation, you just think, well, when do you quit that? Right? When do you quit serving the Lord in some sort of capacity like this? So, like, retirement's not big on our radar, but I guess when you turn 50, people start asking you, what are you going to do in retirement? And I think, man, I'm 50 years from retiring, right? Lord willing. And people say, what are you going to do when you retire? And I just think, I don't know. I have no clue. My brother, he asked me the other day. I'm calling him, and he's getting out of school early, and I knew he had a half day, so I called him, was just chatting with him. My brother said, little brother, we're getting old. He said, I'm thinking about retirement. He said, are you thinking about what you're going to do in retirement? I said, Bear, I'm 52 years old. Retirement's a long, long way off, right? If you say, preacher, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but you know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what my life's going to be like in 5 years. I could be stricken with cancer, but you know the God who can deliver you from cancer. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Maybe my husband or my wife may die. That may happen. In all likelihood, it will happen. What does that mean? It means that we don't fear and we don't panic and we don't live in a nervous way. We rely upon God in every situation. We're resting in God's plan and we're resting in His power. We're resting in His provision. Daniel was brought and he was cast into these den of lions. He was not screaming. He was not kicking. He was not fighting. He knew that whether God would allow them lions to rip him limb for limb, and he would die. He knew who his God was. And he knew that God, if he chose to, could close the mouths of those lions and allow him to live. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we need to rely upon God in every situation, believing he can deliver us. So that brings me to a living illustration that I was not planning on sharing during this series, but it's before us this week. So listen closely, because I don't want anyone to misunderstand. Nick, you guys make sure this is being recorded back there, all right? So this week, there's no small firestorm in our community when our family court judge, Judge Mitchell Nance, his sweet wife Ann, incredible assets to our community. Someone say amen. Amen. Incredible assets to our community. Have been here most of their life, have loved the Lord, have served the Lord here in this community. Are they perfect people? No. Have they made a mistake in their life somewhere down the line? I'm confident they have, just like I have. But are they people of faith? They absolutely are. With homosexuality, with sexual orientation issues, with gender confusion on the rise, rampant across our nation, it is now, it's not new to our community. It's been in our community for years, but it's becoming much more public now in our community. And so there are good homosexual people who are coming before the judge wanting him to perform weddings, homosexual marriages, marrying two women, marrying two men. That is against Judge Nance's personal biblical worldview. It's against his conviction. The law has allowed Mitchell Nance to be able to recuse himself when his own bias would cause him to rule in a case. Mitchell exercised and recused himself from performing any homosexual marriages. And there are people in our community that are crucifying him and Anne right now. Our newspaper, the Glasgow Daily Times, jumped in on that. I had a 45-minute conversation with Daniel, the editor, on Wednesday or Thursday. I talked with him about how illogical the editorial was. He asked me if I or our church did not want them to cover the news. And I said, oh, absolutely not. We want you to cover the news. We just don't want you to write an uneducated opinion about that news. Preacher, stay out of that kind of stuff. If you want a preacher that demonstrates no faith, no biblical worldview, and no consistency, and is willing to allow a good, outstanding man to be thrown into the lion's den without coming to his side and saying he has religious liberty to exercise his biblical worldview and to recuse himself from a case, if you want that kind of preacher, you need to fire me tomorrow and go get you somebody that's going to be a puppet. I refuse to stand idly by when good men and women who serve the Lord are being ridiculed by the Barabbas crowds of the world, who constantly will chant and cheer for the Barabbases of the world to go free while Jesus is crucified. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Sometimes y'all want to wash your hands of sticky situations. And if you say, preacher, we needed you to get us fired up so we can all go do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Brandon Porter's organizing right now with the organization that he works with, a town hall meeting on the 15th. It'll be somewhere. We're not for sure where it's going to be right now. But we're going to give Christian people an opportunity to come to understand that situation, to understand religious liberty, right? My brothers and sisters, you say, preacher, why are you bringing that up as an illustration today? Because we do not have to forfeit our faith. We can rely on God, and watch this, we can stand up and we can exercise our faith and belief in Christ without condemning the world. Now listen to me. I made it very clear to our editor and to people I've had conversations with, I am not against homosexual people. Now, if you're here today and you say, preacher, you ought to be against homosexual people. If I'm against homosexual people, then God should be against me because I'm a sinner. Are you tracking with me? We are not against people who choose to practice sin. Jesus ate with sinners. Are y'all tracking with me? We love the sinner while despising the sin. We don't have to, listen to me, we do not have to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. I think there is room in Barron County, Kentucky, for Christian people like you, Christian people like me, Christian people in other churches to be able to demonstrate a sound gospel, a consistent gospel, by exercising our religious liberty, but doing it with the grace and mercy of the Lord, where we're not condemning someone who is genderly confused. Somebody ought to say amen. And if you're not careful, that's where you'll end up in this argument. You'll end up stoning the people who are choosing to be married, or you'll and lifting up Mitchell, or you'll end up saying Mitchell should resign because those people have a right to do what they're doing. How about both and? How about saying we can exercise our religious liberty and the law gives him the ability to do what he has done, and at the same time, we love that couple right there. And we are committed, as long as they want to entertain the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are committed to show them the love and the commitment of Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. Let's rely upon God in every situation, believing that he can deliver us. And he did that with Daniel. Daniel was provided for in such an unbelievable way that while thrown in the lion's den, the whole night, he was unscathed. I find that just absolutely remarkable. I find it so consistently true and sort of a forepicture of what Jesus did for us. We were living our lives entrapped in the den of sin and the den of iniquity. But Jesus came to us and he rescued us from that. And he allowed our lives to be unscathed. And he provides for us. He's this rescuer. He's this redeemer. He's this one who can do more in us than we could ever do for ourselves. It is this Daniel that deserves, it is this Jesus that deserves to be worshiped. And so lastly, stand to your feet. This never-ending faith in Jesus calls upon us. It compels us to rely upon God in every situation, believing that he can deliver us. And it calls upon us to proclaim God's glory and the gospel to all peoples, nations, and languages. What are you saying, Pastor? The way we live before unbelievers makes a huge difference. Now listen to me. If you're listening, say amen. When the ACLU comes to town and they demonstrate at the courthouse, don't y'all run down there with signs and picket them people. Don't y'all go up there with your gun on your side and saying, this is our community, get lost. Don't act like the heathen act. Let that thing be absolutely insignificant, quiet, and cause no uproar. Let's pray. Let's trust God. Watch this. Let's meet together. Let's encourage the judge. And watch this. And let's proclaim the gospel to everyone. Preacher, you're a bigot if you don't embrace homosexual marriage. No, I'm not. I love folks like that. There's not a week that goes by, I have a homosexual friend that I do not pray for him to be saved and changed. You say, yeah, but he's happy. As long as he's happy, that's all that matters. To be happy in this life, to lose your life in eternity, is not a good swap. You're judging him. No, the Word has done that, right? What are you saying, Pastor? Let's love all people. Let's embrace all people. Let's treat them with the kindness and the consideration of Christ. And at the same time, let's not leave the gospel. If you believe it, say amen. So you may never know this side of eternity, the difference God has made through your life. Through your life of faithfulness. Listen to how it closes. Because God was faithful to Daniel, and Daniel, in response to God's grace, was faithful to God, King Darius wrote to all peoples, all nations, all languages that dwelled on the earth. And this was the message. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, the enduring God. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. And his dominion shall never come to an end. He delivers, he rescues, he works signs and wonders in heaven on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions is the very one who has saved you from the power of sin and the power of death and the power of the grave. Let's praise and worship Jesus this morning.